The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 98. And, of course, you can watch us on Monumental Sports, where you can watch the Washington Capitals. And our guy Joe Beninati is the voice of the Capitals, play-by-play man, covering the Caps. What's up, Joe B?
JP, how's it going? All's well here.
How was your Christmas?
Quick, as usual, but a good one, a very good one.
So before we kind of dive into the particulars last week, just kind of a global perspective on where we're at with the Washington Capitals. I think, obviously, better than anybody expected, but people thought they were going to be better, but not this good, right, Joe B?
I think that's fair to say, sure. I think, to me, Washington and Carolina have both exceeded expectations. You could put Jersey in there, too, out of the Metro. And I know Jersey's leading the East and wasn't a playoff participant a season ago. So, yeah, you could lump them into that same category. But I love Jersey on paper coming out of training camp, and they've lived up to their expectations. So the three teams on top of the Metro right now, I think most people would have been sliding them much further down in the conference standings. But as far as the local team's concerned, this is not fluky anymore. This is 2+ months into a new season. They've played 34 games of a new season, and their winning percentage is right there at the top of the heap. So people believe in them. Scouts who might approach us in the broadcast booth or fellow announcers or newspaper reporters and such, media members, wow, this team's really good. It's big. It's fast. And it's younger than it was a year ago. So all of those markings, all of those trimmings have led to a 23-9-2 record.
So how many teams, if any, use two goalies and rotate them every other game?
It's kind of wild.
That's crazy.
I guess the most recent example, Bish, would have been in Boston,
okay,
when they had Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman, and those two were almost like Charlie and Logan going, yours, mine, and it worked out really well for them, and knock on wood, it's going really great for the Caps. And those two guys, it's interesting, those two guys are playing for contracts.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, they're in the final year of their deals, so they're trying to make as good an impression as possible, all the while pushing each other and gaining the trust and the confidence of the team. So our guys know that they can accelerate it a little bit. They can take a gamble here and there, knowing that Thompson and Lindgren will bail them out.
I know that the playoffs don't start for another few months and not till April, but a lot of teams, and you know this more than anybody, but a lot of teams, when they get into the playoffs, they kind of rely on that hot goalie, right? That happens certainly with the Caps when they won the Cup. Do you think Carbs is going to do the same thing that he's been doing in the regular season, rotating these guys every other game, or would he just rely on one guy who's playing slightly better and just try and roll with the hot guy?
Yeah, really interesting question, and obviously Scott Murray, the goalie coach, would be extremely involved in that decision. I know that's a few months from now. Let's hope.
Yeah.
More often than not, you try to settle in on one, like you mentioned, and you see who gets that first start. I think it would be interesting just to see who, if everything were to play out over the next few months the same, and they do this rotation the whole way, I would imagine you would choose your starter based on the matchup, right? So let's say if you're playing Team X and Lindgren has beaten them three times this year, you're probably going to go with him.
Right.
And then you probably run with him. So I would think it would be matchup dependent. But right now, if you ask Spencer, I think he'd look right back at you and say, I have confidence in either one.
Okay. All right. So kind of just break down the last few games, because they were on a roll. They had won 8 of 9. Their only loss was when they lost to the Sharks. I don't know how they lost to them at home, but lost to the Sharks. And then they went on the road. I know there was a travel issue when they were trying to leave Dallas, so they weren't able to get to Chicago the night before, but they lost both those games. Then they came back home, beat Carolina and L.A., and then they lost to Boston on Monday. So they lost their last three road games, and they scored a total of 4 goals. Did they just play a tougher schedule there, or were they playing too many games in a slight amount of time? Kind of break down those last few games that you've seen.
Sure. Happy to do it. Dallas, I think, is a Stanley Cup contender, and you'd already beaten them once, if I'm not mistaken, and you go to Dallas, and Dallas has been traditionally really good at home and really tough on Washington. The first time around, Dallas didn't play Jake Oettinger, who is a leading candidate for Team USA in the Four Nations face-off for February. He's one of the best netminders in all the league. He played in the game in Dallas, and Washington didn't put much of a fuss there. Oettinger beats them. Then there's the really unique experience where I was leaving the rink fully expecting to be on a plane ride to Chicago. You know, you were going to get in probably 2:30 local time anyway, so it would have been a pretty difficult turnaround. But instead, there was plane trouble. The team couldn't leave Dallas until the following morning. And guys, normally, these guys are creatures of habit. And you usually go in the night before. Even if it's a 2:30 arrival, you're in the city the night before. We didn't get to Chicago till lunchtime on that day.
Wow.
And that's more like what goes on in preseason. So maybe that threw them off. They weren't any good. They had a 2-0 lead in Chicago. The first period was kind of good. I didn't like any of that game. The second and third period was as bad as I've seen them play the entire season, and I chalked it up to 4 games in 6 days and that weird stretch, because they came home and played 2 really solid games against 2 very good teams. So they got back on the beam against Carolina and L.A. The Boston game, I just think minds tend to wander before a holiday break. Mm. Family comes to town. Spencer and the coaching staff had been leaning on them. Hey, guys, stay on task, and then enjoy the 3 or 4 days off. They weren't very good against Boston. It was a 1-1 game. They had an opportunity to take a lead on a major power play in the third period. Didn't have a threat, didn't have a shot on that power play, and then Boston ran off with it. So I think this break comes at a really good time. I don't think they're tired physically. They may have been drained a little bit mentally, and they're going to come right back into those back-to-back situations with Toronto and Detroit this coming weekend. But I think from a much fresher perspective.
Talking to the great Joe Beninati from Monumental Sports, play-by-play voice of the Caps. So where we're at with Ovi, they've played pretty damn good hockey without him, but obviously would love to have him back as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think this is the target is for this weekend. Nice. The team doesn't skate today. It's one more day of the break today. If I'm not mistaken, I was just checking out the itinerary. So they're going to be on the ice for practice tomorrow before they travel up to Toronto for Saturday's game. Ovechkin loves to play in Toronto, loves to play in Montreal, but especially those two cities where it comes to Canada. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they're targeting for Saturday night, for hockey night in Canada. I've watched him, JP, the last 2 or 3 times he's been on the ice. He looks like he's just about there. Now, obviously, he may be holding some back because it's a practice, but I don't see any hitch in his get along at all. I don't see any. I don't see him favoring the leg that had the fracture. And if you do the math, I think it'll be just about 5.5 weeks since November 18, 19. If he returns on Saturday or Sunday, I think it's going to be without a set. If there's no setbacks and nothing's happened in the last few days, if he hasn't reported anything that's bothering him, I think they're going to target this weekend and Saturday night.
Interesting.
I'm hoping at least.
And who's that against? I'm sorry. Is that Toronto?
That's the Maple Leafs. That's been a really good series.
Yeah.
Toronto won here, Washington won there, and it'd be nice to get Ovi back into the lineup. I don't know if he'll play the back-to-back with Detroit. Again, all that's determined by the doctors and the athletic trainers, the coaches and the players, and I am just speculating. I do not know for a fact, but I think the target date is going to be this weekend if all goes well then tomorrow in practice.
Hey, it seemed like Verana, and I love Verana. All right, I got his jersey. That's the one I always wear when I go to games, but it seemed like he kind of disappeared. I don't know how much time he was getting or how many shots he was getting off, but it seemed like he kind of disappeared for a while. But then the last three games, he scored in every game. Was he banged up, or is it a confidence thing, or is he just getting more time? Can you kind of explain that and break that down?
Really, really talented cat on a very good team, and it becomes a numbers game. And if with Jacob, it's all about what he does defensively, what he does when he doesn't have the puck, because when he has the puck, he is an NHL gifted, I think, top six kind of talent. Amazing speed, phenomenal shot. It's when he loses the puck and when he has to play in a defensive posture, the coaches have to have confidence in him. And if that wanes, if that falls off, then he's going to be scratched on a team that was winning 70-80% of its games. And when you get into a role like that, coaches are loath to make changes. So for a while there, healthy, I want to say 9-10 games, Jacob was a healthy scratch.
Right.
And once he gets the opportunity to get back in, then the onus is on him to produce. And to be responsible when he doesn't have the puck. And boom, he's scoring goals. And if he scores goals and he contributes at the offensive end, then you might be able to deal with some of those. You know, if there's a deficiency here and there, you might be able to tolerate it. But if he's not scoring and he's not being responsible away from the puck, then you're going to sit him down. But right now, the young man's in a hot groove. He's shooting incredibly well. And that's right up his alley, Bish. He can play at the offensive end with anybody.
Yeah, I hope it continues.
If they have a weakness, what is it right now?
Well, I guess, you know, their penalty killing's been excellent. So their goaltending's been really, really good and dependable. They've been at the top of the NHL scoring list for 3 months. Yep. And they're still, I think, within the top three or four in terms of goals per game. They've come off the gas pedal a little bit lately there. I think their 5-on-5 game is terrific. So you're asking me about weaknesses. I don't find very many of them. I really don't. You know, you could sit there, and I know, you know, there are a number of, especially Nick Dowd, who takes a great deal of pride in face-off wins. They're not a terrific face-off team from a possession standpoint. You know, I guess if you look at the analytics, they're near the bottom in terms of possession time as far as having control of the puck. But their shooting percentage is so good, it's like they didn't need that much time with the puck to convert. So that's an odd dynamic. But to me, maybe possession, you want to try and not necessarily tax your defenders and your goalies. You don't want to live out of the D zone. You don't want to be totally responsible and reliable on counterattacks or rush chances. And I think the Caps are big and strong enough to have possession, to be more of a offensive zone cycle team, have the puck. And they do that. From time to time, I see them get five guys active, including the defenders. And there's not, it's not an overwhelming part of their game, but they know how to do it. So to me, I would guess maybe have possession of the puck more. I know they like what's going on at the defensive end as far as transitioning from defense to offense. I think that's one of the reasons why the Caps are so good this year. The arrival of Chychrun, the arrival of Roy, that gives them two more puck movers defensively. They don't spend a lot of time in the D zone. They get it up and they get it out pretty quickly and cleanly. So to me, maybe have more possession time at the offensive end, but where they are metric-wise in terms of goals against average, near the top. Goals for, near the top. I mean, you really got to like this team right now.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the possession thing, because I went to the Carolina game on Friday, And they had a lot of block shots. I wasn't obviously keeping analytics. I'm there with my family. And I was like, Carolina actually seemed like that they were dominating, not necessarily dominating, but maybe
puck
playing
possession.
A little bit better hockey than the Capitals. But the Capitals are scoring.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
That it's the conversion rate, sure. But you picked a team that really has the puck a lot and is not afraid of taking shots from every angle. That's been a hallmark of Brad Brindamore's teams. Whereas, like, the Barry Trotz Capitals, they were all about, hey, if we only have 25 shots, let's make sure they're good ones and they'll go. Carolina is like, let's get to 40 and let's see if we can jam rebounds and tips and deflections. So their volume is much higher by nature. That's just their style. And I really like that team. That group is really good, especially...
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Solid on the defensive end, really quick up front, very good young players. I mean, they're a threat. Jersey's a threat. Washington near the top of the Metro. Those teams are going to threaten, I think, for the rest of the time in this season in the Eastern Conference. But that Carolina matchup's always a good one. It's always a physical game, and Carolina brings it. They don't step off the pedal. They're 100% pedal to the metal, which is a fun game to call.
Joe B., we got to run, man. Always great catching up with you, man. Have a happy
New Year. Thanks for joining us on short notice, Joe B.
Hey, no trouble. My pleasure. Always fun to spend some time with you guys.
It's the great Joe Beninati from Monumental Sports. We'll be right back.